Good morning, Hillsborough Church. This is Dr. Larry Correll, area pastor for the Four Seas and retired missionary. Aaron, I thank you for allowing me to fill the pulpit today. I'm going to get right to the point because I want to make sure that we get this audio memo within the right time limits. My wife, Susan, and I have been ministering together for well over 55 years now, wandering around the United States and around the world at God's command, not only teaching and preaching, not only sharing the gospel for salvation, but to build up the church, to help renew the church. We have ministered, but we have also tried to listen and learn and learn and learn from others. After all these years in the ministry, what I wanted to share with you briefly today is that we've learned three things. Hopefully we've learned more than that, but we've learned three things. We've learned that when we are a born-again believer, a Christian, a member of God's family, and a member of God's church, and a soldier in God's army, that our Christian life needs to be balanced upon three concepts, three things, and that is simplicity, flexibility, and urgency. To briefly talk about these things today, I want to read a story for you that comes from the very end of Acts chapter 15 and the first 10 verses of Acts chapter 16. It has to do with Paul leaving the Jerusalem Council and going back to minister to the churches that he and Barnabas had been used to plant in the Middle East, and particularly in places like Cyprus and in central Turkey, modern-day Turkey. Excuse me. As Paul went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches, that is Acts chapter 15, verse 41. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, and whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy, so Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. He had him circumcised because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for all the Christian people to obey. So the churches were strengthened, and they grew in faith, and they grew daily in numbers. Now, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, that would be central Turkey. But they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia to preach, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Now, Troas was a small seaport city on the far eastern end of the Mediterranean. During the night, as they're staying in Troas, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing before him, begging him, "Come over to Macedonia, Paul, and help us too." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of this word. I want to take this story and just bring out three concepts that you see here. One is this. As Christians, we need to make sure that our faith is presented in a simple and straightforward way to people. Sometimes we try to make our faith so academic, so complex, so intellectual. It almost is, if we're saying to people, well, you need to have a Bible college education or a PhD in theology, and then you'll be able to understand the faith. But that is not what the Bible teaches. Remember when Paul was ministering, they had the Old Testament, but there were no Bible colleges, no seminaries, no great theologians. It was simply an explanation, a biblical explanation of what you had seen and heard of Jesus in your own life. That phrase, tell what you have seen and heard, is repeated over and over and over again in the words and the actions of the apostles of the New Testament. Sometimes we try to make the Christian faith so complex that it becomes a burden on others who simply cannot get their head around what we're saying. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, my youngest grandson, Jay, his name is Jay, he was 6 years old. He came to visit Grandma and me, and I took him to my office in my house. And on the wall was a picture that had been given to me. It was a large framed picture of the heads, the busts, if you will, of all of our American presidents. Well, Jay stopped dead in his tracks and looked at that picture, and he was absolutely struck by that. I could not get his attention away from that picture. And I was showing him my library and my books and my old oak roll-top desk and everything, and he just kept staring at the picture. So like any good grandfather, I said, Jay, do you know who those men are? And he said, no. And I said, those are pictures of all of our American presidents. And I said, that's Washington, and that's Jefferson, and that's Lincoln. And I went down and pointed out the prominent presidents. And then I launched into this soliloquy, if you want to say that. I launched into this little monologue telling him about all of these presidents and how some of them came from log cabins and some of them were wealthy men from Virginia and some of them were military heroes and generals that fought for America in the wars and so on and so forth. And I began to wax eloquent about such things as patriotism and dependability and leadership and service to the nation. And oh my goodness, it sounded like one of the best political speeches that could ever be made. And the entire time, my grandson Jay is just staring at that picture. And so when I finally stopped my speech, I looked down at Jay and I put my grandfatherly arm around his little shoulder and I said, Jay, I said, now Grandpa has told you what he thinks when he sees that picture. What do you think about when you take a look at all of those men? And he stopped, and he looked at the picture one more time, and then he looked up at me, and he said, four of them have beards. And I thought, out of the mouth of children, here I am, Grandpa, trying to give this great presentation of American history, and my goodness, I was talking about all these characteristics and virtues of leadership and skill. And what did my six-year-old grandson say? Four of them wore beards. You know what? I was trying to teach my grandson a lesson. And in fact, what happened was God taught me a lesson about keeping things simple. God keeps things very simple. If you just take a look at what we are called to do as Christians, we are called to do what God does. The Bible says God speaks, God saves, and God sends. Those three words are simple words, understandable words. God speaks. It says in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25, that God said, whatever I want to say, I will say, and I will do it. I also remember in Luke chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, that Jesus is in a boat in the middle of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus speaks. He speaks forth in the voice of God, the truth of God, and the storm was stilled and the waters were calmed. God speaks. God also saves. When people came to Jesus, he did not ask them every theological question. He simply said, come and stay with me. Come and see where I am. Follow me. God speaks and God saves. Do you remember there was a time when Jesus was dying on the cross and there was a thief on a cross next to him? And perhaps minutes, hours before they died together on the cross, the thief turned to Jesus and said, will you remember me? And Jesus said, I will not only remember you, I will forgive you, and know that today you will be with me in paradise. I understand the repentance in your heart. God speaks and God saves. And then God sends. Just like he sent Paul and Barnabas, just like he sent Timothy along with Paul to become his helper, Paul to be his mentor and guide. He sent out men and women in all centuries, all generations, and he does the same today, and he sends you and me. Just as God sent Paul back to the churches in Turkey to preach, to teach, to minister, to encourage, to strengthen. And that's what God calls us to do. Simplicity is important, but also flexibility is important. Do you remember when I was reading from Acts chapter 16, it said that Paul and his companions wanted to go into the province of Asia. Well, the province of Asia contained the largest city in that part of the world at that time, the city of Ephesus. Paul wanted to go preach in Ephesus. There would be hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people in the streets who would hear the gospel from his lips if he had the chance to go to Ephesus. And so he said to his companions, my plan is to go to Ephesus. My plan is to go to the province of Asia. But God said, no. The Spirit of God said, no, you're not going to do that. I want you to go someplace else. So Paul had to alter his plan. He had to change his plan. So he said, no, I'll go to Bithynia, another highly populated area in Western Turkey. I'll go to Bithynia. I'll preach there, and many people will hear the gospel about Jesus. And what did the Bible say? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus himself said, no, you're not going to Bithynia. You're not going to Ephesus. You're not going to Asia. You're not going to Bithynia. I'm sending you to a small seaport city. Go to Troas and go to bed. Get some rest. Sleep. Let your companions sleep. And so Paul had to change his plans again. But it was there that God gave him the vision of the man from Macedonia. In other words, what God was saying was, I want you to come across the waters of the Mediterranean, and I want you to preach the gospel in Europe. I want you to preach the gospel on the continent of Europe. You know, if Paul had not been willing to be flexible, if Paul had been bullheaded and said, well, I have a plan and I'm going to stick to it, even if it's a plan of ministry, I'm going to do this one thing, but I'm not going to change. Would it be possible that you and I would not be here in this church this morning? I imagine most everybody in here is of European descent. What if Paul had said no? You see, flexibility is extremely important. the life that we live as Christians and the work that God gives us to do as believers in Jesus Christ is a gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift given from the Holy Spirit. Life and work belongs to Him, not to us. Churches like this one belong to Jesus, not to us. So I want to admonish you this morning, please do not be bullheaded about your plans, and don't be dragging along, sticking your heels in the mud to keep from change. Change is important. Life is change. The billions of cells in your body are not the same cells that were there a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You are not the same person. You may look the same, only a little older, but your body has regenerated 100 times, constantly changing. And the body of Christ, the church in Hillsboro, must not be bullheaded about their traditional plans, nor must not drag their feet when God says, I want you to change. There's something else you need to do, someplace else you need to go, someone new you need to meet. When Sue and I first went to the mission field, with foreign mission field, we went to England. We went because the plan for us at that time was to minister to struggling congregational churches in the southeast corner of England, composing about 5 or 6 counties, or we would say states. And we were to go there as missionaries, and we were to preach and teach and disciple and help churches reorganize and renew so that they could effectively reach their communities. Little did we know that God used that job, used that ministry to get us where He wanted us to be on foreign soil, to learn to live as foreigners in a foreign land so that we would be ready when He said, I need you in Ireland. I need you throughout all of the United Kingdom. I need you on the continent. I need you in Eastern Europe. The Iron Curtain had fallen. The Berlin Wall had come down, and missionaries were needed who could get in and who could survive in places like Romania and the Ukraine and Moldova. We were ready. I was ready. And then all the way to the tip of South Africa and into the regions of Mexico where cartels were strong. And we trained people in England for ministry, and we trained people in Africa and on the European continent for ministry, and we trained Mexican Indian pastors for ministry in village churches where the cartels dominated. And you know, those whom God allowed us to train are all still there working. But what if we had been bullheaded? What if we had been inflexible? What if we had said, we have our plans and that's what we're going to do? Well, simplicity. God speaks. God saves. God sends. And when He sends, He expects flexibility. And finally, in the story of Paul and his companions, remember when the Macedonian vision appears and the man from Macedonia in this divine vision says, Paul, will you come across to Europe? Paul, come help us. Paul, come over and preach the gospel to us. I know it's not in your original plan, but this is what God wants from you. Do you notice that it says that as soon as the vision ceased, Paul was up? Could have been in the middle of the night. He was up on his feet and he was rousing his companions, Silas and Timothy and Luke. And he was saying, pack up, boys. fill your rucksacks, because we've got to get going. We've got to go down to the docks and find a boat. We've got to go across to Macedonia, to Philippi, to Thessalonica, to Greece, to the Balkan states. We've got to go over there and preach the gospel, because this is what God said. And the Bible says they went immediately. They went right away. They didn't wait. They didn't have breakfast. They didn't pray for 2 months seeking God's will. Listen, the Bible teaches us right there that it is not only simplicity and flexibility, but it is urgency that matters. Don't waste time. Don't waste energy. Don't waste thought. Don't waste effort when souls are being lost. Souls right here in Hillsboro being lost every day. And God's glory being slighted every day. Don't waste time. You know, it's interesting. I don't see many examples, if any examples at all, in the Bible, that when God asks somebody to do something, they say, "Wait, God, we're going to form a committee, and then we're going to form a subcommittee of the committee, and then a task force, and then an ad hoc group, and we're going to do that. We're going to take care of it, but we'll take care of it in our own time." No, when God said something, when God gave an order, the followers of God in Old and New Testament alike, by and large, wasted no time, that they act with urgency. Somebody asked me one time, they said, "How much must you hate someone not to tell them about Jesus when you're with them right now?" And at first, I was kind of offended by that statement, but the more I got to thinking about it, how true it is. How much must we hate someone not to tell them about Jesus when we have that opportunity? You see, Paul jumped up in the middle of the night, I'm convinced of that, roused his companions and said, "We've got to get going. We've got to go for Christ. We've got to go where He tells us to go." Perhaps for you in Hillsboro, it's at the high school you go and talk about Jesus. Perhaps it's in the doctor's office. Perhaps it's in the nursing home. Perhaps it's down the street sitting at somebody's kitchen table with a cup of coffee in your hand. Perhaps it's working with somebody out in the fields. Perhaps it's sitting in a duck blind with a friend. Maybe it's driving down the road in the pickup truck. How much must we hate someone to simply not tell them about Jesus, the truth about Jesus? Simplicity, flexibility, urgency. I think that's enough for now. If we cannot remember to do those three things for Jesus, what more could any of us say to anyone else? Simplicity, flexibility, urgency. God bless you. Thank you for hearing the Word of God. Amen.